Well, an Edmund Hillary Fellowship and Social Entrepreneur from Botswana has teamed up with EIT Te Pūkenga to help Tairāwhiti and Wairoa communities eliminate slash and create business opportunities through a simple scientific method and co-creative design process that was adopted and adapted in Africa. Slash for Cash is the brainchild of Thambiso Mashaba, a cultural and environmental economist who arrived in Uawa in March this year, less than a month after Cyclone Gabriel tore through the community, leaving damage and debris in its wake. We welcome Thambiso to Reo Irirangi o Wātea. Me tuku mihi ki a koe, Thambiso. Firstly, aroha mai if I have mangled your name. Names are very important to us as languages, and, you know, my apologies if I have mangled your name.
Morena. It's not a problem. Name is Thambiso.
Thambiso.
But I think he's... Yeah, I think you said it quite well.
Quite well. And so the surname, how do you pronounce your surname?
Mashaba.
Mashaba. And yeah. You are from Botswana?
I am from Botswana.
And so the Slash for Cash, it was adopted in probably in your homeland, was it, and across Africa, and thought a good idea to bring it down here to help our whānau. Is that how did it start? How did you start this back in your homeland?
Oh, well, so initially, I would say the process of making biochar is a very, very old indigenous practice of the Amazonian Americans, so the indigenous people of this coast pretty much, because they're not that far off from New Zealand. They're mostly here in Latin America. And so the way they used to practice is they would burn wood and then just bury it under soil, and eventually it led to dark soils or black soil, which is quite fertile, and in the Amazonian rainforest they use it to plant their crops, and it's quite one of the most fertile soils in the world. So this has been transferred as indigenous knowledge from one indigenous tribe or population over the years. And this is like an adage that is like over 2,500 years old. So when we look at it from an African perspective, I grew up as a child, see my grandparents and my neighbors and friends doing it in their fields. And so in coming to New Zealand, because where I come from, I used to basically teach people design or the co-creative design process to allow them to explore their own livelihood challenges, explore material and resources around them, and come up with simple and appropriate technology or product solutions that address these livelihood challenges, then I would support them to turn these into community businesses. So in Africa or in Botswana, where I used to really train this particular process of carbonization, we were carbonizing agricultural waste rather than your plant waste, because in Africa we have lots of trees, but rather we are encouraging people to avoid cutting them down for firewood and rather look into using their maize stalks, maize cobs, and all the agricultural waste that they can come up with, because anything that is dead matter can be carbonized to turn into biochar, and then the biochar can be used for various products.
And so how does it actually work in practical terms here in, say, Uawa, down into Tairāwhiti as an example? How do the whānau begin to turn this into biochar?
Yeah, so basically what happens is because the waste in our case is the plant wood debris, which is the slash, they basically take it and chip it into small quantities, or cut it into small quantities, then they could either use one of the three forms. So you can use an aluminium bucket to burn them in a process called carbonization. So it's controlled burning in an enclosed environment that is environmentally friendly. So all the poisonous gases that are supposed to be going up out into the atmosphere are trapped into this bucket and disintegrated and then burnt up until they become this particular biochar or charcoal. Or they can use a 44-gallon drum, or they could use a mechanized decarbonization kiln. So in our process in Uawa, because we wanted to show them that even at the lowest scale, they can still participate in the process. So we taught them how to make themselves small aluminium bucket kilns through the course that we were running through EIT. We also taught them how to then move from taking the biochar, how to crush it into solubles and mix it with sheep poo so that it forms the organic fertilizer that's necessary to apply into the land to heal it, because biochar as a fertilizer is very good for nutrient retention and water retention. So if you apply it on wet soils, it will absorb some of the moisture into it. If you apply it on dry soils, whenever it rains, it will store that water and make sure that the dry soil will be able to have the water. But because of how it's porous in nature, it will store all the nutrients and be able to spill them into the soil over time, which makes the soil very fertile. So eroded lands and clear felled lands that happened during the process of harvesting the forestry or due to the floods that came during Cyclone Gabriel can be healed in that manner.
Yes.
And then the other opportunity we saw was that if we take some of the excess biochar and make smokeless briquettes, then people can make alternative income out of that as well. Yeah.
Right. So I'm just thinking then that with the extent of the slash, the amount and volume of the slash, how would the communities be able to pack that down into biochar quickly to enable them to get back to the whenua and parts of the moana as well too? Because it would take a heck of a lot of buckets to get rid of that amount of slash.
Yeah. So at the lowest cost, 1,000 people with small little buckets could potentially produce enough quantity to get by, but with 44 gallon drums they could actually increase the quantity. But what we have decided to do currently is fundraise so that we can build 3 mobile 15 ton carbonization kilns, one which will be deployed in Wairua, one in Tologa Bay, and the other one will be deployed in Ruatoria. And these will be able to engage about 15 people each, so about 45 people could be put to work, and they could do 2 burns in a day, which gives about 30 tons daily. And at the end of the week, that's a lot of tons, or about 150 tons, which can be actually help to try and reduce the quantity of the over 250,000 tons of slash that's lying around the coast. So that's the current plan that we're working on, just so that we are able to help the whanau come up with the right quantity to address the challenge.
Yeah. And so will this bio slash be able to be exported?
Well, that's the dream. For now, we're going to be starting in the East Coast, just healing the land, but also helping to sell the charcoal briquettes, replacing the alternative charcoal that's in the market. And then over time, we'll spread to other parts of New Zealand, and over time, we hope to get to other parts of the world, because as you mentioned, other parts of the world are also facing similar climatic conditions as New Zealand. Even in Africa, much as some of the current charcoal and biochar that's sold in New Zealand comes from South Africa and some of it from Indonesia, there's an alternative now for people to replace this imports with this particular one, and then over time turn it into an export for revenue generation as well.
Great.
But and for now, we're just thinking low level, yeah.
Sure. Now, you're fundraising for these 3 mobile kilns. Why does the government just not give you the putia to buy the kilns?
We have approached various government organizations. One of the biggest challenges at the current moment is that everybody's funds are committed towards cyclone recovery, particularly housing. And some of the environmental funds that exist are not quite aligned with what it is that we are doing. But they are advising us in terms of how we can go about lab testing our products, how we can go about engaging the various councils within the Tairawhiti and Wairua regions, and working with us step by step to ensure that these products eventually become, you know, real products that can be supporting the
Sounds
climate.
Amazing. Yeah. What an amazing initiative. And we thank you so very much for bringing the innovation down here to Aotearoa to work with our whānau. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning on Te Reo Irirangi o Wātea. Tēnā koe.
Thank you so much. Kia ora.
Thabiso Mashaba from